We're going to be continuing our series in the parables of Jesus, the parables of Jesus' teaching. And we're going to look at the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven this evening. As we begin, I'd like to ask you a question just to get us thinking about what Jesus is teaching us. Do you ever feel a sense of frustration when you think about the promises in the Bible to do with how Christ is going to come and change the world, and you read things maybe about how God has worked through history, and you feel frustrated that you want God to come and transform our town, Swindon? Why won't he just come and do something like he has in the past? Or our country, our nation, our world? Do you ever experience that sense of frustration? Or maybe as yourself, as you think about the theology of what it means to be a Christian, that the resurrection power of Christ is in you? Why can't I experience that change? I want to experience that new life in Jesus. I want to be transformed. I don't feel it now. Do you ever experience that frustration? Are there things we can do? What can you do to see our society, our town changed? Can we put on a big advertising campaign and get people to come here or book a big speaker? Will that transform Swindon or our town, our society? If you want to change yourself, what do you do? Is it just the case you get the right book, you find 12 rules for life, or go to the right conference somewhere or read the right Bible verse, and it's just going to make it all click, and therefore you've got that new life, and it's just going to be rapid, different change of life? I wonder if you experience that frustration. I do. That's my experience. And now hopefully I've sufficiently overburdened the expectations of this sermon that you think that we're going to get the answer. But there's a sense in which that's what Jesus is dealing with when he's teaching them, the people around him, the parables of the kingdom of heaven that we've been looking at, to help people with that frustration. So we're learning about the kingdom of heaven, that is, the rule of God, when God's in control, God is in charge and control of everything. And when God is in control and ruling, societies are transformed, towns are changed, and people's lives are changed and transformed. And when Jesus was ministering, people were waiting for that. They had the promises of the kingdom of heaven coming from the prophets, and they were looking for it, they were waiting for it. And they seemed to be sometimes getting frustrated with not seeing it. And then they saw Jesus' ministry and thought, this isn't what we expected either. And again, they were experiencing that frustration. So Jesus is telling these parables to help people rethink what they are looking for, what they should be looking for when they're looking for the kingdom of heaven coming in this world, and the kingdom of heaven coming in our society, and the kingdom of heaven coming in our own individual lives. So that's what we're thinking about. We think about this parable here. If you have your Bibles with you, you could keep it open at verse 31. We'll look at what Jesus is teaching. So he asks, for the kingdom of heaven, what are we looking for? So in verse 31, he says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. So firstly, he wants you to think. He thinks, think now, when you're thinking, what are you looking for? Have a category for a small seed, a really small seed is what he's thinking. But then he says, when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and nest in it. So that small seed, he says, remember that, when you plant it in the ground, it can grow, and mustard seeds apparently can grow into trees about 3 meters tall. And he says, you know, and it can support the weight of birds. And maybe he's saying there, you know, that other things come in and benefit from that plant, from that little seed. So the point he's saying is something small and unimpressive, you know that, he says, that could grow, you know, into something very impressive and remarkable. If you only look for the impressive things, though, you're not going to see it. But then he continues to give another perspective on the same point. Verse 33, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, leaven is a raising agent that is used in dough when you're making bread and things like that and batters. And it basically causes foaming action and gas bubbles coming up in it, and it makes it sort of fluffy and lightens it. I had to look that up. I had no idea, really. That's me looking on the internet. But what he's saying is you get leaven. You get something called leaven. You put it when you're mixing in your dough. And a woman did it, and she hid it into 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. And so the idea is, and you take this leaven, you put it in the dough, and it makes 3 measures. And again, I have to look this up, but 3 measures basically means a very large amount. So 3 measures could feed up to 100-150 people. You're thinking of a big party, a big banquet of people could be fed with that. And the point is, you take one bit of leaven, and you put it, and it will spread throughout all of that dough. And it'll permeate and affect the whole thing. The whole amount becomes leavened in the end. And that's what he's saying. It's a similar message to the other one. It's that you take that one bit of leaven and the whole thing is affected in the end, even though it's only a small thing. So, he's saying with the kingdom of heaven, when that's coming, what are you looking for? Because you should be looking for something maybe that's small, but that grows into something large and impressive. Something that maybe is hidden, but ends up spread throughout the situation. So that's what he gives. He gives them this parable. So what's he teaching? Again, he wants us to rethink how we understand how the kingdom comes. So if you think about a kingdom coming, if you think about a kingdom, you have to think of a king and an army, and they come with battles, and they take over and they conquer people, and it looks very impressive. There's a lot of action. It's sort of crash, bang, wallop. Look, a king has come. You know when you've been taken over by a king. You know when you're under a new kingdom. And there is a sense in which, well, they were looking for that. And God, in a sense, had worked like that sometimes in the past. If you know the narratives and the stories in the Old Testament, you'll know that that's how Joshua took the land, that they came and they had that action that they took over, that they conquered. And again, King David, he was a king who was praised because he conquered in that same way. It looked impressive. Crash, bang, wallop. They were conquered. And often it's the way the prophets would have used that similar language to do with the conquests back then, to how the kingdom of heaven was going to come. But now Jesus is teaching in these parables to give them a way to think differently about the way the kingdom comes. That the kingdom of Jesus comes in a unique way. In a sense, it's straddling 2 existences. You've got the present evil age that we live in now, but the kingdom of heaven as well. And they're sort of overlapping. So you can't think about it in those same categories, that it's so simple. That a dramatic invasion comes and takes over. And so we think about, if you've been coming to these evening services where we've been looking at these parables, you'll know that it's not a dramatic invasion, this kingdom, where all people submit. No, it's seed that goes out and you receive different responses. It's not this great takeover where you get a unified response. No, the wheat and the tares, they grow in this world together. And so now he's teaching them that if you think it's some sort of wholesale, dramatic response, where the king just comes and takes over, you need to change your categories. You need to think like a seed that's this small but grows into something impressive. You need to think of yeast that is hidden and spreads throughout gradually. And I was thinking, this reminds us, doesn't it, of the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament, and he was frustrated. He wanted to see God working, and he wanted to see the whole nation come under the rule of God. And he was upset, and he was saying, "Where are you, God? I want that crash, bang, wallop effect." But remember, it's a very famous situation, isn't it, where God gives him a vision, takes him to the edge of where he was staying in a cave. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord." That's dramatic. You'd expect, well, that's something impressive happened. That's where God is. This is, "But the Lord was not in the wind." But then after the wind, there was an earthquake. The earth was shaking. That's stunning. That's where we see God, isn't it? It says, "But the Lord was not in the earthquake." And after the earthquake, a fire. "But the Lord was not in the fire. But then after the fire, there was a still, small voice. So again, he's saying, think about these categories, be changed. You're often looking for this dramatic fire, the wind, the storm, the earthquake. But God's kingdom isn't like that necessarily. It may appear unimpressive at first. Now, an important point is, it may appear unimpressive at first, but it has a dramatically impressive result. It starts small, yes, but there is a dramatic result in the end. It does start as a small seed, but it is a giant bush which birds can perch in. There is large quantities of bread produced from that one small bit of leaven. And so in the same way that he's thinking, as we preach the gospel throughout the world, as we're sharing the gospel, you know, that can look foolish. He's saying it. He's going around just preaching the gospel. And they go, well, is that impressive? Is that really the kingdom coming? But he's saying, well, imagine this, that this is actually a message which is going to permeate throughout the whole world and affect all generations and all people and affect us in this room. That the kingdom, if you think about it, is a small seed. There's nothing impressive about it. You know, you can think about this king, this Jesus. He looks unimpressive. The king of the Jews, you'd mock him. He's just a carpenter from Nazareth. He's killed on a cross. That looks unimpressive. But then think about one of my favorite Bible verses. Jesus says of his own ministry, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So you think about this small, this insignificant looking king coming with his kingdom. But when he dies and rises from the grave, he outgrows all other kings of this world. That his influence and his reach is more than any king before him. That Jesus, if he's that seed that is sown, the harvest, in a sense, begins at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to the church. And then Jesus begins to gradually conquer the world. It begins at Jerusalem, doesn't it? But then it extends to all the nations, all the worlds. Just like the prophet said it would. All the people begin to start submitting to the king. But how? Is it through an impressive army? Is it through a dramatic campaign? Is it through force that people submit to this king? No, if you read the book of Acts, you read church history, it's through insignificant looking people like you and me. We just speak about Jesus. We just have that effect in the world. It spreads like leaven throughout the world. And people began to submitting to God's King Jesus. So having Christians dispersed throughout a society has an effect on it. It slowly grows. And in fact, it's a source of blessing. Think about the idea of those birds coming to perch on the branches. That just having Christians in society is a source of blessing. So Jesus is teaching them that yes, this kingdom does have humble beginnings, but you can't ignore the results of it. But you do have to be patient. And I think this is important for us as we're thinking how to apply this to ourselves. Especially if we think we get frustrated sometimes about being part of this kingdom, wanting to see the effects of it. Remember what he was teaching his disciples. You need to be patient. So as there were 3 points I thought we could apply this to ourselves. The first point is more of a suggestion, or as a personal point for me maybe, but it's something for us to maybe think about. And then also it affects how we think about the growth of the kingdom we're part of, and also our own personal growth, and as we want to grow into the likeness of Jesus. So the first thought or caution, that's something I've been thinking about, and maybe you want to think about it. Beware or be cautious when reading church history or the history of revivals or wonderful Christian biographies. I'm saying this intentionally as someone who loves reading that. Someone who is greatly encouraged about reading how God has worked throughout history in great ways and revivals and things like that. And also reading testimonies of how people have been transformed by Jesus. Obviously, you need to read them. but read them properly. Read them with an understanding of what Jesus is teaching in these parables. Read them cautiously. Because there's a danger in that you would just see the dramatic side of things. That they're going to end up focusing on all the crash, bang, wallop of how God has worked through the history of the church. And we're not losing the categories which Christ has given us in his teaching for how the kingdom spreads. The categories are as a small seed that grows. It's yeast that's hidden and disperses throughout. And if you only think in these dramatic terms of how God has worked, that we need to see revival or Damascus Road testimonies, you're not going to. No one publishes the everyday life in a book, do they? Everyday Christian life. No one just publishes a story about everyday Christian faithfulness. We wouldn't buy it. And the danger is then we start thinking, well, he's not working today. We'll just sit here and wait until we see something dramatic like that. This isn't very impressive at the moment, so God isn't working, is he? I'm just going to wait for God to come and do something in me. I want him to do something like that in me. I'll just wait for him to intervene in my life. I want some sort of dramatic sign, maybe. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a helpful illustration by a Welsh preacher who ministered in London, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who himself evidently had a ministry shaped by his love of church history. But he gives a helpful illustration for how to think about these things. He says, think about normal growth in the life of the church, or normal growth in the life of a Christian. You can think of it as a field with seeds in it, and when the sun comes on it and the rain comes down on it, you see the growth. That's normal life. And he says sometimes you'll have an extra period of rain. I don't know if you can think of what that's like, can't you? You know, when there's more rain than usual. And what do you see? You see an extraordinary amount of growth. And in the sense of you love that. When you think about that in the history of the church, you think, oh, that's lovely to think about. That's wonderful. We praise God for that. And obviously, it leads to lots of complications of rapid growth. But the point is, you don't neglect and don't stop to love the normal growth, the normal seasons of rain and sun and a steady pace of growth. So it's just a reminder that as we have a healthy appetite for reading church history and biographies and history of revival and things like that, remember that the kingdom of heaven is meant to be grown like a seed that starts small and unimpressive, that it's leaven that spreads gently throughout and permeates. Not always in a dramatic fashion. So that's probably more for myself, but it may be helpful for some of you. Just read church history cautiously or thoughtfully. And then secondly, as a point for ourselves, how do we think about how the kingdom is going to grow in our town, in our world, as an effect of our church? So we're part of that kingdom. We want to see it continue. We believe what the prophets have said about the kingdom of heaven spreading over the earth. Now, we know from the teaching here that, think about it as being yeast spread throughout bread. We're not to think about ourselves as, I'm part of Jesus' kingdom now. Therefore, I'm part of a different kingdom to this world. Therefore, I'm going to come out of this world and be separate from it. I think I try and leave anything to do with secular world. I spend all of my time with Christians. No, that's not the picture he gives. The picture he gives is leaven that is spread and permeates. You are to stay in this world. You are to be part of normal life in that sense. To carry on what you're doing. That's how yeast works. You're not to just become something separate and be taken out from the dough. But does that mean you're just normal, just like everyone else? No, you're in the situation, but with that bit of influence. You're not just, if we extend the metaphor in a sense, we're not just part of the ingredients. You're not just part of the flour or the whatever else goes into it. You're not just another bit of ingredients. You are the yeast. You are there to make a difference. You are there to permeate and have some sort of effect in that situation. So as we're living our daily lives, as we're in the workplace, or in our schools and with our family, we're still there under Jesus' rule. We're still there under the king's rule. But we display what the kingdom's like, don't we? We try and imitate Christ in the world. That patience, that love, that generosity, that forgiveness, that love of integrity, that love of the truth. We're there as leaven in that situation. And we're dispersed throughout society. Now we may say, but that looks small. I want to see something. I want to do something that transforms this town. Well, that's great. It's a great desire to have. But remember, it starts as a mustard seed, which grows, starts small. And his influence grows. So I want you to imagine. Imagine if more and more people were just living like Christ, dispersed throughout Swindon. Just live, having that one-to-one influence, just the odd word here and there, the odd reminder here and there of the truth of the gospel, the odd display of the gospel lived out here and there. Over time, you would see this town transformed, wouldn't you? Over time, you would see the kingdom grow like leaven throughout Swindon. I was thinking of another illustration. It's probably very easy to think where this illustration came on from recently. But it's like rain. You know, if you thought one drop of rain, so insignificant, just a tiny little drop of rain. But if you think about the last week, if you've had enough drops of rain, it makes an impact, doesn't it? If you have enough drops of rain, you can flood a whole town. So sometimes we need to be humble enough to see ourselves as one drop in the great downpour of God's kingdom in this world that does have its effect. So we are part of the kingdom which is spreading throughout this world, which is transforming this world. But it's not going to look like necessarily a kingdom which comes and conquers with that dramatic takeover. It's going to often look like people like you and me dispersed throughout society and living under the rule of the king. So it helps us as we think of our role spreading the kingdom throughout this world. But then thirdly, and finally, it helps us think about our own personal growth in the Christian life. We want to grow and be more and more transformed into the image of Jesus, don't we? Into the image of the King. We don't want to be like we were. We don't want to be like we are. Hopefully we have that desire, don't we? And I was thinking about this. The principal of the seminary where I study said something recently. That he said, if someone from your church comes to you and says, I want to grow as a Christian, I want to change, I want to be more like Jesus. He said, the answer should be, that's great. Come to church, take your seat, sit there and listen to the sermon for the next 20 years. And I think, you see what his point is, don't you? That we're looking for some sort of dramatic, measurable result now. And it sounds strange often to think of things which are probably going to take decades. But that's the exact thing which Jesus' parables are teaching us, aren't they? They're teaching us patience. You know, I was thinking about this. If you've ever come across mission agencies, if you've come across, for example, New Tribes Missions, a mission agency which is specifically focusing on finding groups of people in the world who have never been reached with the gospel. So they have nothing to do with the gospel, and they focus their energies on those people. If you want to sign up to go and work with those missionaries, you usually have a plan of 30 years. You go there, I'm going to go there, do this for 10 years, do this for 10 years, do this for 10 years. I mean, you usually don't think like that, do you? Have you ever thought, I'm going to have a 30-year plan for something? Well, we don't think like that. But this is exactly what Jesus is saying. How do you think how these things work? Do you have that sense of patience? The illustration, again, I came up with for this. Think about food. You know, sometimes it is nice if you're peckish, you can put something in the microwave really quickly and beep, 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 and you can have that in a few minutes, and maybe that's nice. But it's always really nice, isn't it, when you've got something in a pot or a slow cooker, and it's just there on the back burner, and it's simmering away, and maybe it takes hours. It smells nice, doesn't it? It takes a while, but the flavors start infusing into each other, and it's a really nice thing to do. It takes a while to cook something like a nice stew or a nice casserole or something. And so there's a sense in which sometimes you can look at the church and look at ourselves and say, well, where is this overnight transformation? And you say, well, maybe I'm cooking slowly. Maybe I'm not the type of Christian you put in the microwave and just get out really quickly. Maybe that's how God works, and I think that's a good thing. The difficulty is to have this patience that Jesus is talking about, to see these images and to have it this way is to act in faith. It takes faith to believe this, doesn't it? See, by faith we have to believe that our minds will be renewed by the gospel and the trials of life and will be transformed into his son. And we may want, we want maybe to come into the church and hear that dramatic sermon, and that would be wonderful. And I think every preacher's desire is to preach that sermon where people come in and they change, they can leave, and they go, I'm just so different. I was transformed by the word of God in that situation. Maybe we should remember the parable of the mustard seed. Maybe God wants to do that, but through 100 sermons. Maybe he wants it to be done that way. And for ourselves, maybe we want to change that particularly wonderful, intimate experience and encounter with God in prayer. You know, those times are precious. We should remember the effects of a daily life permeated with a prayerfulness over years and years, cultivating that relationship with the Lord. That influence spreads throughout our lives like leaven. Make sure we have that category as well for being more and more transformed into the image of his son. And as we finish this part of the service now, as I finish, think about communion we're having. You know, we love the communion meal because it's so beautiful in its simplicity. You look at it, it's just bread, isn't it? It's just juice. But to think about that, you get to take, you get to share, you get to be reminded and enact out the truth of the gospel. And remember, it's gradually, this is a way that Jesus has said will be conformed to the image of his son. That as we are remembering the gospel and enacting it and taking hold of it, it's going to transform our whole lives for the week ahead. So, Jesus is ministering to people who probably were frustrated. They wanted to see the kingdom come dramatically. They wanted to see the king take over and conquer the Romans and all these things like this. And Jesus says, I'm going to tell you some parables so that you can think about these things in a different way. Make sure you have patience. Make sure you think about the seed which starts small but grows big. Make sure you think about the leaven which is dispersed throughout gently. And as we've seen that in history, we have seen the effect of this king, that his kingdom has been growing, that he is alive and well, and his kingdom is growing today. It is like a mustard tree that has grown and is influential now, that we are like leaven dispersed throughout society. And we need to make sure we're thinking about that as we think about how we minister the gospel as a church and how we seek to grow in our Christian lives.